Welcome back to the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. My name is Wayne Kimmel, managing partner of 76 Capital, the sports tech venture capital company. And on this show, I interview top sports entrepreneurs, athletes, and executives who are shaping and many times changing the overall sports industry. You can subscribe to our show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on our 76 Capital website. Today, my guest on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show is Jesse Cole, also known as the guy in a yellow tuxedo. Jesse is the founder of Fans First Entertainment and the owner of the world's famous Savannah Bananas, as well as the Party Animals and the Firefighters. He is a best-selling author. He's written three books. It's amazing. Jesse's Bananas have welcomed more than a million fans to their ballpark and have been featured on MSNBC, CBS Sunday Morning, Access Hollywood, HBO Real Sports, CNN, ESPN, and many more places. With the mantra of fans first, entertain always, the Bananas are on a mission to make baseball fun by creating the greatest show in sports. The team has amassed over 15 million social media followers and growing every single day, sold out every game since their inaugural season in Savannah, and has grown a ticket wait list of more than 2 million fans from all over the world. Jesse, welcome to our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
That was a lot. Hopefully no one tuned out there. That was a lot. I appreciate it, Wayne. Excited to be with you, my friend.
You know what? You've done amazing things. You know, as the owner of the Savannah Bananas, I mean, what is a day in the life like for you?
Well, that's changed a lot over the years. You know, when we first started, it was calling anybody and everybody hoping that they would buy one ticket. That's how bad it was in the beginning. And we did it all. It was myself, my wife, our 24-year-old team president, and a couple 22-year-olds out of college. That's what we started. You know, now as we've grown considerably, my days are different. And, you know, it's constantly flying, going to different world tour stops, meeting with our team, planning site visits for next year and this year, and, you know, really spending a lot of time on creative. You know, I think that's one of the things that a lot of leaders don't spend as much time on. It's idea sessions, and ideas are everything for our team. So we have idea meetings, idea paloozas, OTT sessions every single day as we plan out what we're going to do that night, that weekend, and the upcoming weeks. So that's what I'm doing every day. Every day's changing, new meetings, new calls. But for me, I just try to do things that give me energy, and it's on my energy list. And that's creating, sharing, and growing. So if I'm doing any of those three, I'm having a good day.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And, you know, I really want to jump into your world tour, but I think we should step back for 1 second and share with our audience here on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show, you know, how did Banana Ball get started? And quite frankly, what is Banana Ball if people have never heard of it?
Well, with Banana Ball, we're trying to create the fastest and most entertaining game in sports. And, you know, it started from just putting ourselves in our fans' shoes. And that's how everything starts with us. You know, when I first started as a 23-year-old GM of a little tiny town team in Gastonia, North Carolina, you know, there's only $268 in the bank account when I first started. I couldn't pay myself for about 3 months. But I read every book on Walt Disney, on P.T. Barnum, on Bill Veeck, and I learned so much about putting yourselves in the guest shoes. And so for 10 years, I tested a lot of things in Gastonia. A lot didn't work. Flatulence fun nights, salute to underwear nights, dig to China nights, pregnant nights. We tried it all. But we learned that we had to be about entertainment, and that's what fans wanted. And so when we started in Savannah, we said, let's go even further. So we made every ticket all inclusive, you know, where your ticket included all your burgers, hot dogs, chicken sandwiches, soda, water, popcorn, dessert, all night long with no ticket fees, no convenient fees, no service fees. And we paid your taxes. And then we started doing undercover fan and literally walking in with the fans and sitting with the fans and you know, eating with the fans and timing how long the fans waited to eat in line. And we just started realizing that our fans started leaving games early every single night, no matter how much entertainment. And again, you know, we started by selling only a handful of tickets. My wife and I had to sell our house, empty out our savings account, sleeping on an airbed. It was bad, Wayne. But once they came out, they were still even early, even though we had a senior citizen dance team and a breakdancing coach and a banana band and nonstop entertainment. And we were videotaping every 30 minutes and seeing when fans would leave. And so we realized we got to make a faster game and we got to change the game. And so I wrote down, what are all the boring, slow, long parts of a baseball game? And how do we eliminate those from mound visits, from stepping out of the box, from bunting, from how do you make a walk exciting? We turned it into a ball four sprint. What about if fans caught a foul ball? Could it be an out? You know, what if every inning there could be a walk-off and every inning counts so there's no blowouts? And we wrote it all down and we started testing it in 2018. And the first game we ever played was 9 innings in 99 minutes. And the players said it was the most fun they've ever had playing baseball. And so we tested them with a one city world tour, then seven cities, then 33 cities, and now fortunate to play in front of a million fans this year in Major League Stadium. So we've learned a lot over the years, to say the least.
Well, congratulations on everything. And I'd love to hear more about your current world tour with the Major League Stadiums and where you're playing this season.
Yeah, so everything we do is bets and experiments. So, you know, we tested that one city world tour in Mobile and somehow sold 7,000 tickets to a little small town to come see Banana Ball. And then we started going to Major League spring training homes, and those sold out. And then we started going to 10,000 seat stadiums and 15,000 seat stadiums, and those sold out. So then the next step was the Major League, and we were fortunate. Some of the Major League teams, and the Astros, the Red Sox, the Phillies, the Nationals, the Guardians, and the Marlins all made tremendous offers to invite us to come play. And as soon as we had our World Tour City draft this past October, 1.4 million people joined the list to get tickets within 48 hours. And we knew that all those Major League stadiums were going to be sold out in seconds. So fortunately, yeah, we sold out Houston. We played there in March, 41,000 fans, people showing up as early as 8 and 9 a.m. for the show. Roy Oswalt pitched for us at Roger Clemens, and Roy said it was louder than any World Series game he's ever been a part of. And so that's the ultimate compliment, because our fans didn't want to sit down. They stayed loud the whole game, and we got Fenway coming up and, you know, four more Major League stadiums after that. So it's just all about that next jump. You know, it was all just saying, hey, you know, what do our fans want? What are they excited for? You know, I had a dream as playing at Fenway Park when I was a kid, and because I grew up outside of Boston, and now to bring, you know, 38,000 people there for a sold out Banana Ball game is nothing I'd ever imagined. But it's so great to see the buy-in from our fans, the players, and everyone around the whole country.
Well, I saw that amazing picture of you sitting in the dugout as a 5-year-old at Fenway Park. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was my first fan's first moment. I was 5 years old, a shy little kid, and Lee Smith, Hall of Famer closer Lee Smith, sat next to me, talked to me, made me feel amazing. And that inspired me to become a Red Sox fan, inspired me to play baseball, and ultimately has inspired me to hopefully deliver fans' first moments like that every single night that we're playing.
Phenomenal. I mean, one of the things that I thought was incredible, so you talk about all the rule changes, and in Houston, one of the craziest things happened, and I saw it all over social media, when a fan caught a foul ball. And that fan just happened to be someone related to one of the players. I mean, maybe we want to tell that story. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, you think about, you know, the name of the company is Fans First Entertainment. So every decision we make is fans first. So that happened later in the game. In the first inning, there was actually a play at third, and we had the fan challenge. So that was a new rule we added. So fans can actually challenge any ruling on the play. And it was a close play at third. They called him safe, the party animals. And they showed the video and replay on the video board. And I watched as 41,000 people erupted because they knew it was out. And the fan challenge overruled a play in the first inning. So that was unbelievable. Then we go into the eighth or ninth inning, and Drew Gillespie is pitching for the party animals. And a foul ball gets hit, and his brother literally catches it up in the club section and throws it right back to him, and he catches it. You can't write that stuff up. And I think that's what makes it interesting. We're trying to create rules to involve the fans and to create things people have never seen before in a live game. And, you know, we had a 15-year-old catch a foul ball to win the game this past year in North Carolina. It's like, you know, that's what it's all about. We want people to feel like they are really a part of this experience. And we're going to keep creating rules to hopefully keep that coming in the years to come.
I mean, do you think what you're doing today could have happened 10 years ago in sports? I mean, you think this is like the time now to be able to do all these innovative things, and people are just so excited about what's happening across the sports media entertainment industry and want to come out and be part of something really special? Or is this something that wasn't anyone like you, you know, 10 years ago?
No, thank you. That's very kind. But there's been tremendous innovators in the game and business for years. And, you know, people say, oh, you know, the banana's just, you know, social media driven and all that. Is that why it's all working? Well, you know, I would say, I think P.T. Barnum, if he was right now, I think he would have a very successful business. It might not be a circus like it is today, but he would do something. And I think, you know, it takes really putting yourself in your guests, your consumers, and your customers' shoes. And yeah, I think timing has been huge for us. I think the fact that we can create content of all the things that we do and share it immediately with our fans all over the world has been tremendous. I mean, to think that we have 15 million social media followers, and even our second team, the Party Animals, have more TikTok followers than any Major League Baseball team is crazy to think of. But it's because we're able to, you know, film, create. We've got a young group of hungry, talented, creative people that love doing things that never been done before. And I think there's more an appetite to that. I think people are more open to challenging the status quo. This isn't the traditional 1960s, 1970s. This is the way the game has to be played. So I think people are more open to that, and it definitely helps. But I think, again, you know, Walt Disney figured out how to do things when everyone said a theme park would fail. There's no reason why this theme park should work, and Walt made it work. And same thing with P.T. Barnum. And, you know, I hope the greatest innovators and creators and inventors can do that at any time. Just obviously having a little luck on their side is nice.
Well, absolutely. I mean, something that we talk here about here at 76 Capital all the time is really the convergence of the, you know, the worlds of sports, media, and entertainment all coming together today. The fact that you now have opportunities to do things in the physical world and the digital world, you're making all that happen. I mean, you mentioned, you know, Walt Disney and P.T. Barnum and those kinds of guys, because, you know, you think about Disney, you think about Universal.
Yeah.
There's really no true sports experience in those places, but you're kind of doing that. You're doing that next thing. You're bringing those worlds together in ways that no one's ever really done before.
Well, that's very kind, but I do think Bill Veeck would have something to say about that. I think he did amazing things, but he was a little before his time. I would say go on timing. You know, people were a little skeptical of what he was doing. But yeah, it's a very simple mindset for us. We're trying to bring people together and bring joy. Just bring joy. And we don't take ourselves too serious. You know, so many people make decisions on driving revenue, sales, profits, and this is the way it's supposed to be done. We got to run it professional. We're just having fun. When your owner is in a yellow tuxedo, if you can't have fun, then what it's all about? Our players, they say, oh, they dance too much. They're having fun. And there's a value to that. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to do every night. And we keep it fresh. Every night we're doing 10 to 15 things we've never done in front of a live crowd. And a lot don't work. I mean, the living pinata. I mean, there's been a lot that just don't work. I mean, menopops, cougar races. I could tell you all the things that we've done that have been very weird, but it keeps it fun for everyone. It keeps it fresh. And I think if people are willing to do things that may not work, the creativity, the innovation, and the magic that comes from that is second to none. And every night we're willing to fail. We're willing to do things that don't work. And that's what makes it fun every night.
Well, it's been really interesting and exciting to see. And as you know, I most days when I'm in my office here, I'm sitting here holding this bat as you know, our Diamond Kinetics, you know, baseball technology bat that, mm-hmm. you know, that your guy, Coach Rack, you know, who plays on the Bananas, right? Has done some stuff with us at Diamond Kinetics. And, you know, it's amazing where you know, we think about how we could bring, you know, new types of technology to the game of sports, to all the different games across the sports industry. How do you think about technology and how that's going to be used on the field as well as, you know, use a lot of it off the field from a social media perspective? But where do you think about tech?
I mean, obviously tech plays a very important role, and it's funny for me because my team, they heard this question right now, they'd start laughing because I fought hard against a video board in Savannah. You know, we literally do not have a video board at our stadium. And they're like, how do you not have a video board? And I believe constraints foster creativity. And so by us not having a video board where every team relies on, all right, watch the video board for this kiss cam, watch the video board for this, you know, maze, watch the video board for this, whatever. We had to figure out how to entertain without a video board. And that made us so much better at, you know, breaking down the barriers of a typical game. Our fans, our players are in the crowd. We're doing promotions in the crowd. We're not just on the field. We're not just using a video board. And so, but now as we go to major league stadiums and we go to bigger venues, the video board is a big important part of our show because you got 41,000 people that can't see everything on the field. And I think obviously when you look at technology, what's happened with social media and everything, and you know, I know the AI and the VR, it's all coming there. We have to be aware of that. You know, I hate going back to Walt Disney, but obviously what he did with color and the multi-plane camera, you know, he jumped on that before everyone else. Sound, Fantasia. He used sound at another level that no one else ever did. He was the first full-length animated film. I mean, he did so many things that was so far ahead with technology that no one could keep up. And I think, you know, the best of the best always do that. I'm very aware of it. But I also know that the basics of a great fan experience is still taken for granted every single day. We charge too much. We nickel and dime. We do all these things in this industry that is unacceptable. And how do you make it fans first? You eliminate all the nickel and diming. You entertain always from the time they get to the parking lot to the time they leave. Those basics can be worked on. And that's what we're trying to go on every single day. And then we're going to add the technology when we can. That's kind of our game plan.
Well, you talked about at the very beginning, it was you, your wife, Emily, got it all started. But now you got a team. I'd love to hear about your team and how they help you execute and make this, you know, make this experience fan, you know, as fan friendly as possible, fan first every single day. What are some of the, you know, love for you to share some of your team and some of the things that they do to help you really make this all happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's we're learning every day. You know, we have a tremendous president who's been unbelievably loyal, you know, started with us as 24 years old, and he runs the operational side from the merchandise and the tickets and the stadium. And then I'm a lot over the creative. So that's the marketing, the show, the entertainment, and the broadcast. And, you know, we spend in my world, we spend tons of time on the creative. So, you know, our team, we have our director of entertainment, our creative director, our marketing director. We have OTT meetings every single week where we talk, what are the over the top ideas? Then the players have an OTT meeting where they talk, what are the celebrations? What are the hitting entrances? What are the things they can do that they've never done before? And then literally our marketing team gets together and says, all right, what are we creating in marketing and video that we've never done before? And then what produced pieces are we creating that we've never done before? So I'm in the creative world and we have grown considerably. I mean, we have a full team of videographers, editors. We run our own broadcast. We run our own merchandise. We run our own ticketing on our own ticketing platform that we created, Fans First Tickets. We do everything in-house because I believe you learn from doing. And the more you do, the more you're going to learn. So many people outsource everything. You don't learn that way. And if we want to really create a fans first experience, we have to do our merchandise ourselves because we're going to box it. We're going to put the free koozie. We're going to put a personal note. We're going to do things that are unscalable. People don't realize our first 5 years, Wayne, we called every single fan that bought a ticket and thanked them. That was $150,000 a year. Now, as we're over 1 million fans a year, that has become unscalable. But the same thing with merchandise. Every person that bought merchandise, we called and thanked them. It's that stuff that we focus on, that high touch, which is not profitable in a sense, but it creates fans. And we are focused on long-term fans over short-term profits. So we are hiring like crazy. It's every single week. We're bringing on more full-time people, seasonal. We have a very firm hiring process, you know, where we have video cover letters, fans first essays. We look for your future resume, not what you've done in the past, what you're going to do in the future. And we have a very, very strong hiring period because people are everything in our organization. We know what their love languages are. We know what their interests are. We know what matters to them. We know all those things because we want to make sure that they are treated like a fan, even better than a fan, if we want them to deliver that fans first experience. So we're learning a lot because we're doing a lot. And it's been a great journey so far.
Is there something that has completely surprised you over the years where you're like something maybe because I know you talked about you've tried so many different things. Some things work, some things didn't. But there's certain things that you maybe are like, all right, let's just give this a shot. And it just really it was amazing.
Well, I can go the things that we gave a shot and really failed. That's easy. That's sometimes easier for me. Okay. I can probably go both ways. But let me share this.
Sure.
You get into the industry. And I started as a 23-year-old GM. And what you're told, sell sponsorship, okay? Then you're like, hey, we have a stadium. Sell events at the stadium. You know, open it up. Drive revenue through sponsorship. Well, we failed at sponsorship at the beginning. It wasn't that we weren't that great at it. And I don't think anybody comes to a ballpark to be sold to, marketed to, or advertised to. And if I had a company, I would not spend $20,000 on a billboard on a stadium. I would spend it a different way, creating a better experience, making sure those high touch points, do those things to create fans. So I had a trouble with that. And then events at the stadium. We tried everything, haunted stadiums, food truck festivals, concerts. And we realized we had to start selling our fans to come to these events that weren't even what we do. It's someone else outside does. And I mean, I remember we did a tap of the morning beer festival, a morning beer festival, because you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning is what we said. We only had about 100 people show up, Wayne. They had a great time. I think they're still recovering from that day. But the reality is we realized we were doing all these events. That's not what we can be the best in the world at. So I was told, this is what you do. You sell sponsorship, you sell events, you sell tickets, all this stuff. And I realized, no. We're in the entertainment business. And I believe we can create the greatest show in sports. That is what we're going to focus on. So every day, I don't focus on trying to sell things. I focus on trying to create a better experience. What are we going to do tonight that we've never done in front of a live crowd before? How are we going to make our fans feel special? What are we going to do? What are those fans' first moments our players are going to create, our staff's going to create, our characters are going to create? And so it was, for me, eliminating all these things that everyone else says you need to do when you run a baseball team and focusing on one simple thing that has made everything else doesn't even matter. And that's the focus for us. Because now with the wait list over 2.5 million people, we can sell tickets. We don't need to try to sell them. They come to us on the wait list. We don't need to sell sponsorship because fortunately our tickets and our merchandise drives our business. And we can create what we want to create, which we believe is what our fans want. So yes, I mean, Banana Ball was the big winner. We changed the game. Fans come, they stay till the end of the game. 98% of our fans stay till the end of the game. They come early, they stay to the end. That doesn't happen in typical baseball games. That was the big win. But there's a much bigger list of failures that led to us finding that one big win.
Do you ever think about other sports for Banana Ball?
I get asked that question a lot. And again, I'm going to go back to, we're still in the first inning of what Banana Ball can be. Literally, I mean, when the National Baseball Hall of Fame called last year and said, we want to put the bananas in the Hall of Fame, I was shocked. I was like, they're like, we can't ignore you anymore. You've made a difference. And I was really humbled and honored. And they wanted the idea book where I came up with the rules of Banana Ball. And that was 2018. And that's when we played the first game. And then 2020, we played a few more. Then 2021 was the World Tour. We've only played 100, 150 Banana Ball games total. We're in the first inning. Amazing. So for me to go try to do bowling or golf or tennis or anything else, it just doesn't make sense. We've got a lot that we believe we can do with this game and get better. And so, yeah, it's not even a remote focus of mine. We got a lot of work we got to do with Banana Ball.
Well, I saw coming up, you have your third team is going to be joining the league, the firefighters.
Yeah,
that's amazing. So you start with the bananas, the party animals, and now the firefighters. And I see you're starting to sign some of those players right now, and that must be incredibly exciting.
Yeah, I think if you zoom out, you can kind of see what we're trying to build. It's not just the bananas. It's not just the party animals. It's the game of banana ball. And, you know, we've seen that the party animals without the bananas sold out Vegas 20,000 tickets in a matter of minutes. This is not the bananas, the party animals. And, you know, with their 3 million plus followers, and now the firefighters are creating interest with kids and stuff. So, you know, some people, I guess you could describe it as almost like Cirque du Soleil. You know, there might be 40 Cirque du Soleil shows all over the world. They're all different shows, but you know, you're going to get the unbelievable athleticism, acrobatics, storytelling, and, you know, amazing new age circus type abilities. With Banana Ball, you're going to see trick plays, fast innings, backflips, fans catching foul balls, celebrations, entertainment, nonstop music. Like, you're going to see that. But the party animals are not the greatest show in sports, they're the greatest party in sports. So when the party animals have headliners in Vegas and at home in Savannah and Greenville and Greensboro this year, you're going to see a party-like atmosphere that's unlike any people have ever seen at a baseball game. Then with the firefighters, you better believe there's going to be some strength, some courage, some unbelievable things involving fire, some new music. There's going to be a whole new show people have never seen before with them. And then our fourth team, a completely different show. And so you're going to be able to build fans and build some excitement for all these different shows and see what happens. And that's what we're trying to build.
Do you have a dream player or person that you would love to have play for any of the different teams that you have now? Or are there different players that you want to have potentially play for these teams? Because you're able to bring I just love how all the people that you bring to the stadiums.
I would say almost all the guys that are playing for us right now is a dream player because I watch what they do. I mean, there's so many to name, but to think about D.R. Meadows, for instance, he was a guy that was a conditional player, which means for our college summer team before we became Banana Ball. And he was just a temporary guy, but he played well enough to stay with us and win a championship. He was an infielder. We already had infielders. We said, we want you to stay with us because you're a great kid. And he goes, all right, I'll go play outfield. And then he learns how to do a backflip catch in the outfield. Then he learns how to do a backflip barehanded catch in the outfield. Then he learns how to do a front flip catch in the outfield. Then he learns how to literally do every type of entrance, dancing, lip syncing. He's open to it all, and he pushes himself to be better. You know, Ryan Cox, our glove magician, he's done over 150 trick plays. You know, there's guys on every team, Tanner Thomas on the party animals, that literally comes up with new ideas and is doing vlogs and creating content constantly and having fun every night in the field. Sean Fluke, I could go on forever. The pitcher that was an exterminator that literally wasn't, you know, even playing professional baseball, but joined us, takes his shirt off, starts getting outs, getting on a mic, having fun with the fans, being a part of the party. All of these guys really embody what we're trying to create. And so it's not like a guy playing Major League Baseball right now, because I haven't seen, can they take it to this level? Can they entertain? Can they do things like this? And, you know, we're just fortunate. We're getting lots of guys reach out. We had over 2,000 players reach out this past year to be a part of it. And that list is growing every day.
Well, how do you go through the list of all these people that want to play for the different teams?
Well, you know, again, we have a great baseball operations team. Barry Aldrich has led that since we started, and he started with us in our first season as an intern and then came through our whole team and tickets and big love of baseball and the development side. And our coaches, Tyler Gillum, Adam Byron, and Mike Favasis. I mean, we look at all the players and see, you know, what can they do as far as banana ball? Pitcher, can you work really fast? Can you throw strikes? Can you do trick pitches? Position guys, you know, what's your trick play skills? What's your entertainment skills? And then we just try to balance it on how they fit into each roster. They have to have unbelievable baseball skill. People don't realize that these guys, many of them are pro prospects. You know, a lot of home runs, guys throwing 92, 95 miles an hour. It's unbelievable, the baseball talent, but they have to be able to have that extra. And that's what makes banana ball special.
Absolutely. Well, as we wind down right here on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show, first, thank you so much for joining the show. It's been amazing, and wish you the best of luck with everything that you're doing. And, you know, you talked about community. You've talked about, you know, doing the, you know, really bringing people together. And that's something that we really care about here at 76 Capital, about giving back and making the world a better place. And I know that you do a couple things in that part of the world as well, to really just help people. You want to touch on a couple things that you do in around that part?
Yeah. Well, my parent, Emily and I, we became foster parents about 3 years ago. So we realized there was a need in this country with 400,000 kids who don't have a permanent home. So we became foster parents and had two amazing girls join us and for almost 3 years. And we just adopted them this past January. But when we saw the need and the challenges, we realized that people aren't talking about this in a positive way. They're not celebrating the heroes every day. So we launched a nonprofit, Bananas Foster. And so now at every city we play at, we honor families that have, you know, taken in 30, 40, 50 kids, that have adopted 10 kids, that have made such an impact in their communities. And it has been unbelievable to see, as we've had hundreds of people sign up to become foster parents, and solely because of hearing about it through Bananas Foster. So we've got a long way to go, just like the bananas, from selling only two tickets, my wife and I having to sell our house, empty our savings account, to now having a wait list of 2.5 million. There's 400,000 kids who need a permanent home. We're going to create a wait list someday of people that want to become foster families, and then we'll feel like we have done our job.
Amazing. Amazing. Jesse, again, thank you so much for joining us on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. Really appreciate it. Wish you the best of luck.
A lot of fun. Thanks, Wayne.
I'll see you in Philly.
All right. Sounds great.